from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is The Fan Upstate, a bit of a production notification before we move on with the hour. I've just spoken with Rashad Beard. He will unfortunately not make it today, but it is for a good reason. That reason being that he is attending Carolina Panthers joint practice today. He will actually be out at the practice field in Charlotte, North Carolina, going eyeballs on the boys as they get set for preseason game number 2, the Carolina Panthers hosting Aaron Rodgers, not Aaron Rodgers, because he ain't playing, but Aaron Rodgers is New York Jets coming up Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Bank in Charlotte, North Carolina. So Rashad will join us tomorrow morning on the radio broadcast after going all in on the joint practice today for the Cats.
That's cool, though, because we get a practice report from him.
I mean, that is the freshest of perspectives, you know? So he'll be out of practice today. Rashad will join us tomorrow at 8:40 a.m. We still do have Hayden Ask Mario coming up at 9 a.m. We will preview the NFC and AFC Easts with Mario at 9 o'clock. And then Fight Club coming up at 9:20 this morning, where we'll talk all things MMA boxing and pro wrestling. Let's get back to some college football, shall we? We went through our AP top 25 earlier in the week when it was released. The University of Georgia ranked number 1. The Ohio State Horse Chestnuts checking in at number 2. The Oregon Ducks under Dan Lanning rack in the number 3 spot. Texas number 4. Alabama checks in at number 5. That's how they line up coming to the green flag next weekend. Week 0, baby. I mean, it's week 0. It's not the most compelling slate of college football games. But at this point, this is like being hungry for 7 months and somebody puts a plate of like unseasoned diced potatoes in front of me.
Or like plain grits.
Yeah. Except grits are good. But like,
no.
You know, I still want to spice them up a little bit. Throw me some shrimp and some white wine gravy in there. Or maybe some dark red roasted potato or tomato sauce in there.
What is white wine gravy?
White wine sauce.
Okay, I was going to say, how can you make wine thick like gravy?
Just, there are people who refer to any sauce on food as a gravy. It's really? Not. I agree with you. Really? It's not. Okay. It's a sauce.
It's great. Gravy needs to be have some thickness to it.
I feel the same way. We have finally found some common ground this morning.
I'm not going to put some Worcestershire gravy on whatever.
Some what?
Worcestershire.
I mean, nailed it, honestly. You know? Nailed it.
Said it just as good as probably 90% of Americans.
Some Worcestershire sauce.
Daggum.
So, yesterday, decided to go look through what teams are overrated inside the AP Top 25. I'm going to give you one. And this you have said, I have said a number of times. Clemson's whole season comes down to what, Lonzo?
Cade.
Yep, that's it. See, I can't say the team is overrated because I think the team is perfectly rated. I think the team is perfectly rated because if Cade Klubnik is good, they're absolutely a top. Honestly, if Cade's good, they're a top 10 team. If Cade's good, they're a top 8 team in the nation this year. They are a playoff team. If Cade is not good, I think they finish somewhere in the ballpark of 20. They split the difference and put him at 14. I'm good with that.
Hey, you throw me a softball, I'm going to Aaron Judge it.
I get it. 300 home runs. We're absolutely going to talk about that coming up in a little while because he is, and this is also objectively empirical.
He's a really big dude.
Pat McAfee would call him one big son of a, and that is accurate. So we'll talk about that.
Did you see them trying to pour Gatorade or whatever on him? But he's so tall that they just basically threw it on his butt.
I was going to say, it just wet his shoes. Effectively, the man's large. Overrated teams in the AP Top 25. There's a couple that I'm jumping at. One of them, to me, is Notre Dame. Is anybody here, sincerely, 844-326-3663, that's the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phones, 844-FANFONY. Text line 71307, start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. Does anybody here, and I'm asking this genuinely and sincerely, is anybody here super high on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish this year? Lonzo, are you anywhere close to super high on the Fighting Irish?
No, I think there is a secret law that you have to rank them pretty high, though, because they do that every year, whether they deserve it or not.
Not unfair. Not unfair. I don't think this team's going to be bad, just so we are clear. I don't think this team is going to be bad at all. In fact, quite the opposite. I think this team can be good.
When you can basically pick and choose who you play and remain independent and do what they do, they're always going to be somewhat relevant.
I don't disagree, though I would say I think we ought give a little bit of credit to the Irish. Because they can pick and choose who they play, but they don't. I mean, they don't ever have like a, you know, not respectable schedule. They're playing Texas A&M this year. They're playing Louisville this year. They're coming to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. I know I'm the only one in the building that thinks that there's any commendation deserved by that. They're playing FSU. They're playing Virginia. They're playing SC at SC this year. The California version, of course, not the Gamecocks. But I look and I go, hey, listen, there's a lot here, all right? There's a lot here. Riley Leonard, stand-up quarterback from the University of Duke University. Riley Leonard comes over. Riley Leonard did good things at Duke. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Riley Leonard was a world beater, right? And I feel like because of the fact that he got recruited by and signed with Notre Dame, this is something I do every year. It's one of the reasons that while I acknowledge that recruiting is the lifeblood of college football, that while I acknowledge recruiting is wildly important, maybe the second most important thing in college football behind fundraising, part of the reason I don't really get super deep into recruiting, especially when it comes to recruiting rankings, is because they are, as we talked about in the last hour, wildly subjective. You might look at a guy and go, oh yeah, he is the best thing since sliced bread. This is why I don't get super caught up just in reading the numbers of recruits and going goo goo gaga over them, because I don't know who the hell they're playing, right? I don't know who they're playing. Is that team out there beating up on a bunch of 2A schools, 1A schools around the state? Are they out there playing high schools that have, you know, a majority of guys going both ways? I called high school football last year. There was a team that the team that I called last year playing that played a team that had 8 both-way players. 8 guys playing every single snap. So when a guy goes out there against a team that's got 8 guys that start on both sides of the football and special teams, the numbers you put up against that team, as to the numbers that you put up against the team that's better than that, they're very subjective. So Riley Leonard goes out there for Duke, and by the way, Duke got Clemson at the beginning of last year, if you'll remember. I mean, popped them in the mouth in week 1. And Riley Leonard was a big part of the reason. But Riley Leonard's also a guy that's got some injuries that he's dealt with throughout his career. And the subjectivity I was talking about there is, if Riley Leonard would have left Duke and he would have ended up at, let's say, Arizona, is Riley Leonard being talked about the same way? Or is Riley Leonard being talked about this way because he ended up at Notre Dame? And Notre Dame's one of those schools that, you know, if you go here, you're in good shape. Every single year. In fact, it just happened. Every single year, there are 2 or 3 or 4 recruits that, oh, this is a 4-star guy. This is a 5-star guy. And that 4-star guy signs with Alabama, and wouldn't you know it, 24 hours later, that 4-star guy, now he's a 5-star guy. He got a star. All of a sudden, well, if he's good enough for Bama, he's got it. He gets a star. Or there's a 5-star guy who decides, yeah, I want to win, but I also want to rep, you know, my dad's school, my mom's school, whatever. And that 5-star guy signs with Maryland, and all of a sudden you wake up the next day and he's just a 4-star guy. Maryland got a new 4-star guy, right? Is Riley Leonard subject to that? Is Riley Leonard a guy that is getting all of this attention that people are talking about because he's genuinely good? Or is Riley Leonard getting all of this because he signed with Notre Dame to go take over Sam Hartman's spot? I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Riley Leonard is a guy that in 2021 had a 60% completion percentage. Riley Leonard's a guy that in 2022 did have a 64% completion percentage and 20 touchdowns. Last year had a 58% completion percentage, but remember, because of the injury, played 95 passes before he was done for the year. So I don't know is the answer. I don't know. And because of that, it's hard for me to look at Notre Dame, a team that did have a great recruiting class, so that we are clear. I very much like Marcus Freeman a lot. Marcus Freeman is one of those guys that feels to me, and I've not yet had the opportunity and pleasure to interview Marcus Freeman. I've not gotten to speak with Marcus Freeman. I have only covered Marcus Freeman from a distance. But Marcus Freeman strikes me as one of those coaches that, like, bro, I'm ready to suit up for. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to war for this guy. Like Marcus Freeman a lot. That being said, is there anything that Marcus Freeman has done so far that leads you to believe that the Irish are ready to make a run at their first title in 36 years? This is the deepest team Marcus Freeman's had. I would argue that this is the most talented overall team that Marcus Freeman has had so far. But is there anything that jumps off the page at you. The recruiting is excellent, but recruiting excellence doesn't win you football games. I got to see it developed. I'm looking at a team that last year had a loss to Ohio State. Granted, three-point loss, good loss. Last year came down to Clemson. And arguably, the worst team that Dabo's had since 2014. And Notre Dame lost that game 31-23. Now, it was only two losses. They went 10-2 in the regular season. They smoked Oregon State in the bowl game. Of course, Oregon State didn't have a lot of their guys. Neither did Notre Dame. This is why when we're looking at, well, what did this team do last year? When we're talking about the guys that are coming back, I don't care about bowl games anymore. Well, they won the Sun Bowl. I don't care unless you can point it at a game and go specifically. I remember that this was a well-contested bowl game because both teams went a buck at it, which doesn't happen anymore. I don't care about bowl wins. So I look at this Notre Dame team, and I see the deepest team that I've seen at Notre Dame maybe in my lifetime, to be honest with you. There's been some good teams through there. I think this team, depth chart-wise, is as good as it gets. But I'm also looking at a team, Zoe, that has two returning starters on offense. Their tight end and their left guard. That just lost their projected starting left tackle, who was supposed to be the heart and soul of that offensive line. Down with the knee injury, out for the year. So they got worse. I look at a defense that has four returning starters, three of them on the defensive line, one guy returning in the defensive backfield this year, and Ben Morrison. It's good recruiting depth, but it's not a ton of returning experience, and you know what that means, especially when this team starts the season August 31st, where? On the compound, playing the Colt in College Station.
See, do you consider Notre Dame one of the, I mean, obviously they're one of the blue bloods, but the teams that they just reload. I mean, you know, a team like Alabama every year, they just reload. Georgia now is that way. Ohio State, there are other teams like that when they lose a bunch of people, but you don't worry about them that much because they have a history of reloading in the next year, bringing about the next stars. Do you think of Notre Dame that way anymore?
Yes, but not to the extent that I think of all the teams you just mentioned, right? Brian Kelly had great classes coming through when he was there. Marcus Freeman may have assembled the best roster Notre Dame has had since, hell, before Brady Quinn. I think that Marcus Freeman has put together a hell of a roster and should be commended for it. So I'd be willing to say I think Marcus Freeman is on his way to restoring Notre Dame to feeling that way. Like, no matter how bad the season goes, there's always going to be some dudes ready to go next year because Notre Dame's a place you want to play. They send a ton of NFLers. It's a place you want to be. I think that Marcus Freeman's got them on the way back to that reputation for sure. But again, how many coaches have we seen come through college football that were excellent recruiters and then the season started and things went sideways and vice versa? How many coaches have we seen that weren't great recruiters, but then all of a sudden when it came time to make in-game adjustments, they were some of the most brilliant X's and O's tacticians in the game? I think Marcus Freeman, again, I don't know who Marcus Freeman is yet. Frankly, I don't think we've had enough time. Right now, I know he's an excellent recruiter. Do I trust Marcus Freeman on Saturdays yet? No. I'll tell you this. If they go down to Texas A&M and they beat the Colt in week one, if they get Mike Elko and hand him his first L as the Aggie head man, I'll feel a lot better about it. Texas said willingness of AP voters to keep them in the top 15 and the ability to secure a number 5 spot without a conference title game will keep Notre Dame relevant. Notre Dame can lose two. They can lose two and they're out. We'll see how it plays out. All right, we'll talk more college football when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yo, this kind of slaps a little bit. Don't hate this at all.
You're welcome.
This would be a good monster heel walkout song, right? Like, you know, when this hits, somebody about to get their wig split.
So it's your theme song.
I mean, if I got to go like generic, you know, create a wrestler character walkout, I'd pick this for sure. It's about it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, let's talk some more college football, shall we? Went through yesterday and looked at some of the most important non-conference games of the year. I saw this called on Twitter X yesterday. I saw this called one of the... No, excuse me. I saw this called... the most important season in college football history to the sport. Read a headline that said, insert a hot air full talking head's name here, is ready for the most important season in college football history. And I opened it like, for whomst is this the most important season in college football history? And it was just a generic for college football. We'll start with that. Is it? And forgive me for forcing the conversation, but if this is the most important season in college football history, talking head, might I ask why? Why is it the most important season in college football history? I think it's the most dynamic season in college football history. Just because the massive changes to the structure of the national championship almost demand that you call it thus, right?
But this is the most exciting college football season that we've had in, I don't know, since the four-team playoff was instituted.
I don't think I would push back against that. I don't think I would disagree that it is the most exciting season. I wouldn't even say just in recent memory. I would maybe say of my life. It is exciting. To me, because I'm a big weirdo, what do you want? The opportunity to explore the unknown is fascinating to me. It always has been, right? I have a YouTube channel that I follow. All it is, great one, is it is a camera that is attached to the front of an unmanned submarine that they send to the bottom of the deepest parts of the ocean. And they just drive it around. It just drives around and looks at stuff. And every time they go down there, they find something. They find something weird, a creature we've never seen, an animal we've never seen, or one that we have seen but never in its natural habitat. Like, it's always something. I'm fascinated by the unknown. And college football is entering maybe the most impactful unknown, right? Like, I found the first couple of years of the portal fascinating. Because with the ability for college football players to have more control over their own career and their own future, I was fascinated by that. I found the first year of NIL fascinating for the same way. Because to me, one of the most cool, interesting, compelling things to learn about people is how they adapt to change. Is how they figure it. This is why when some new exciting form of technology comes out, right? And everybody's like, uh-oh, doom and gloom time. AI is going to take over the world and ruin everybody. Skynet's a coming. My thought is...
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
No reason. My thought when I see and hear that is, how many other types of technology in years gone by have we heard that about? I have seen hilarious old news articles when the car became mass-produced about how the car was going to ruin American society as we know it. It was going to destroy communities as we know it. I saw a hilarious, there was a website I found that had compilations of all of this. I found an article about how when it came out, television was going to ruin society, about how telephones were going to ruin society. We have constantly been told every time some sort of innovation or change happens that it is going to ruin society.
I think that's a matter of opinion. I think you can look at some of those things, including TV, and say that it has, you know, it at least harms society in some way.
I mean, in some way, but I think everything has ruined society in some way, right? But I also think a lot of these things do a lot more good than harm. The internet has changed the way, social media predominantly, has changed the way that we all interact with each other, right? Like, it has changed the way we interact. People are willing to say and do things behind the anonymity of a keyboard that they would never have the rocks to do in real life. But also, some of my best friends in the world I made through social media. And on top of that, some people I have cut out of my life that I go, yeah, I don't need that in my life anymore, got cut out because of what they said on social media, which to me is a net gain, right? So how people adapt and change is always fascinating to me. How this game is going to adapt and change, a change with the playoff that, yes, there were those out there, much like when the car became a thing and the television became a thing and social media became a thing. There have always been the doom and gloomers that say this thing is going to cause our downfall. And yet we as a species have this remarkable ability to adapt, to learn, to change, to get better within whatever the new system or the new normal is, right? We had a global pandemic 4 years ago. We had a global pandemic. And to say that life hasn't changed a little bit would be wrong. It has. But what have we done as a species? Even though we all had different ideas about how to do it, what will work and what won't, we, because we don't have a choice, all kind of came together and said, this is what we do now, and this is normal, and we're all going to learn, and we're going to be okay. College football's got a 12-team playoff. Things are going to change. Coaches are going to handle situations differently now. They're going to look at that last game of the year. If they come into the rivalry game 11-0, and they've already got a ticket punch to the conference championship game, some coaches are going to say, yeah, we're laying down this game. I don't care if we lose to the rival as long as we get a chance to play for the conference and win a playoff berth. And some coaches are going to go, to hell with that. I don't care if I lose every damn player on the roster. We're going to win the rivalry game. And the fan bases of Coach Group A are going to go, yeah, we're great with this. And the rivals, the fan base of Coach Group B are going to go, we're also okay with this. But it is going to change the way the game operates. So I don't agree that this is the most important year in the history of college football. I do agree it damn sure is the most compelling, for sure. All right, Lonzo, when I talk some Carolina Panthers when we come back. No Rashad Beard, unfortunately. He'll join us tomorrow in the next segment. Mario at 9, Fight Club at 9:20. With the X is going on at 9:40 to wrap it up. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob the Great Milonzo and you. Let's talk some Carolina Panthers. Ordinarily, Rashad Beard joins us in this segment, but he is actually at practice today as the Panthers and the Jets have a joint practice on tap this a.m. They get set for their preseason contest. That is Saturday evening at Bank of America Stadium. Rashad will join us tomorrow morning at 9:40 to break down everything that he sees at practice this morning. Can't get any fresher perspective than that.
That means we'll also get an Aaron Rodgers report.
We probably will.
You said joint practices, right?
Correct.
There we go.
I don't know how much Aaron Rodgers will participate before I assume quite a bit. It is practice.
Yeah,
but
I think they practice more than they do.
Oh,
anything,
for sure.
So,
and he is, my understanding, not playing in the preseason game against Carolina. So, you know, we'll see what his level of involvement is. But Rashad Beard will join us tomorrow at this time. So, the great one and I, instead, will talk some Carolina Panthers here. We've talked a number of times about a key to the season, very similar to Cade Klubnik and Clemson. This season, to me, and we've said this a bunch of times, and I'll tell you why I'm setting it up again. We'll get into the conversation here in a minute. This season, to me, as much as it will pain Panthers fans, I think it is important. I think it is important to recognize the reality of a situation that a team is in. And this is any team. This is the Kansas City Chiefs looking for the Super Bowl three-peat. It is the New Orleans Saints, who didn't do this, recognizing where they are with Dennis Allen. And it's the Carolina Panthers recognizing that this is still a rebuilding year. Okay? It is. Part of the rebuilding year is getting Bryce Young where Bryce Young needs to be. That's just it. Part of the rebuilding year is getting BY to where BY needs to be. That is, to me, the focus of the season. It doesn't mean I don't want to make the rest of the team better. I do. I would like to see a focus on finding a way to make sure that you don't have defensive backs getting hurt every time that they look at a football field. I would like to see a focus on making sure that the running game is better than it was last year. I would like to see a focus on developing the wide receiver core further than they have been developed the last couple of years. These are all things that I want to see. In fact, may even go so far as to say demand to see out of Dave Canales in year number one. But the number one priority is your quarterback. Because if you don't get that right, none of the rest of it matters. So you got Dave Canales, a guy that built trust with quarterbacks who have slammed into a wall before they worked with him. Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield predominantly, although, again, Baker was in Carolina. That went not real good. And it is now obvious that it was not on Baker Mayfield. We'll put that to the side for just a minute. But there is an added emphasis on developing the, let's say, environment around Bryce Young. Making sure that an environment is being built in which Bryce Young can thrive, in which Bryce Young can succeed. Building that environment became obvious to me when the Panthers made the announcement on like a random Tuesday this offseason that in a day they had made moves for not one, but two different OGs. In this case, OG meaning offensive guard in Lewis and Woods.
Nice.
Thank you very much. I workshopped that in my own head. Sounded good to me. They went and got a pair of OGs, offensive guards. We talked a couple of days ago at Panther Fan Fest at Clemson to Anish Shroff, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. And I asked him specifically, I said, of all the offseason moves that Carolina made, there are two that jump off the page. The first is the acquisition of Deontay Johnson, the wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, a guy that I saw Steeler fans saying, hey, you know, it unfortunately got to be too much of a relationship strain for him to stay with Mike Tomlin here, but hard worker, good wide receiver, good dude. Good luck in Carolina. And then the offensive guards. And Anish Shroff said, the reason that they made that move is that Dave Canales was looking through quarterbacks that were successful that reminded him of Bryce Young. And it wasn't so much about teaching Bryce Young how to be like those quarterbacks, but it was more looking at the ones that were successful, looking at the ones who were not successful, drawing a Venn diagram of both and finding out what qualities were in the middle of that Venn diagram, right? When you go look at the short king quarterbacks around the NFL from the past 10, 15, 20 years, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, to a lesser degree, Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield. When you look at the guys that Patrick Mahomes, when you look at the guys that are considered short king quarterbacks around the NFL, and you list all of the qualities that went into the team around the bad ones, and you list all of the qualities that went around the quarterbacks that were short king QBs that were good ones, where are the qualities that you find exclusively in the good short king quarterback, and you find them in the overlap, but you do not find them in the bad short king quarterback portion of our little Venn diagram here? And how do we emulate those things? And one of the things that Anish Shroff pointed out that was in the Venn diagram that represented the good QBs, he said, building the offensive line from the middle out. With guys like Lamar Jackson, with guys like Josh Allen, you want to build your offensive line from the outside in. You want to protect the blind side. You also want to make sure that you've got edge setters on the offensive line as your priority so that when those guys end up in a tough spot, they know that the escape clause is to the outside where there's space. But when you got a short king QB, the most important thing you can do is create a situation where when they look over the center out towards the defense, they got room to throw. They got visibility down the field. Great offensive guards do that. Great offensive guards fire off the ball. They get into the gut of the defensive lineman or linebacker, and they make those hands come down. Right? Great offensive guards and great centers find a way to get hands in, not on the shoulder pads, because if you put hands on shoulder pads, that defender's hands are still good to go up in the air and take a guy who goes 6'3 and make him 7'3. But when you get those hands into the gut, when you can gut punch a guy off the ball, those hands got to come down. He's got to protect himself. One of the blocking styles that my old high school coach taught us, and I'm not saying this is good, I'm just saying it's what he taught us, was when you're playing guard or center and you fire off the ball. Lonzo, tell me if you ever got told this when you were coming up. You drive that face mask into the lower body section of the defensive lineman across from you if he shows it, right?
We actually had a block where your downhand fist comes right up into that area.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know.
That is the mark of having an old school offensive lineman as your head coach, right? We got taught when we were going through blocking class.
Not saying I ever did or did not do it.
Right, just that it was said.
It was said, yes.
For sure. We got told when I was in offensive lineman class, we got told if you were in the interior offensive line and you go to throw a block and you see numbers or you see zippers, that's what you attack, right? If you see a zipper, and obviously football pants don't have zippers. It was an expression. But if you see numbers, you attack the numbers. If you see a zipper, you attack the zipper. And the reason you attack the zipper is just as a dude, if something solid and fast moving comes at that, instinctively your hands are coming down to protect yourself, right? We've all been there. We've all been in that moment where something comes hard and fast at that particular part of your anatomy and you react. Ah!
Yeah, go ahead and hit me in the skull. I'm good with that. But yeah, I mean, you know.
I see a fist coming to my head. I'm like, am I? Let me fight through. I got to fight through this block. I got to shed this block. I see something coming at that particular part of my anatomy. I am reflexing like my freaking life depends on it because it might. And that, when I saw practice the other day, when I've seen the limited game flow come out, that's what I'm seeing from the interior offensive line. That's what I'm seeing the focus is on. Not punching a dude in the junk, but making sure that you are forcing interior defensive linemen's hands to stay down. You want as much visibility on the inside as you can get. That is absolutely what the 2009 New Orleans Saints did for Drew Brees. They went and got guys like Jari Evans. They put him at the guard and center spot, and they said, attack and keep hands down so that our 6-foot-tall quarterback can see over the line. Well, you're working with a guy that's 5'9". It's even more important than that was, and I've seen the focus, and I like it. We'll talk to Rashad Beard tomorrow at this time to get his thoughts on that after joint practice today. Hayton has Mario from the BetQL Network up next. Lonzo, now.
I just want to see him play Saturday, and he probably won't. The Atlanta Braves won their third straight over the San Francisco Giants with a 13-2 victory last night. The Braves had 11 hits, including 4 home runs, one of which was a grand slam from Michael Harris in his first game back from the injury list. Atlanta is 6 games behind Philadelphia in the division and 2 up on the Mets in the wild card race. NASCAR stripped Austin Dillon's playoff berth awarded from his Cookout 400 win last Sunday after a review of Dillon's contact with Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin on the final lap. NASCAR determined the contact was intentional, justifying the penalty of the removal of the playoff berth and 25 playoff points. Audio of Dylan Spotter telling him to wreck Logano was provided and may have been the catalyst for the decision. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. No Diesel. All Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.